Hi, I'm here today with James Garner, who is with the Civilian Conservation Corps here at Garner State Park. And welcome, Mr. Garner.
Appreciate
your being here with us this morning. And I'm going to start right in with asking you, how did you find out about joining up with the Civilian Conservation Corps?
Well, first I would like to say that I'm honored that you would have me here, that I have the privilege of being here and talking about my experience 65 years after I left. I was 13 years old in 1933. President Roosevelt organized a CC camp, and right away my brother joined it.
Oh.
He went to Colorado, and then later they moved to Arizona. Well, as I grew up and went through a depression, wasn't much work going on here. There was a little. And I had friends that were here in Garner Park, so I decided I would join it.
Oh.
I came here, and that began the 20th day of October, 1938. I was here 2 years.
2 years.
I left the 14th of September, 1940.
Oh, and all that time, I guess you did different jobs. What types of jobs did you do while you were here?
Well, the very first day, because I had listed on my paperwork that I had been driving a truck working for the International Boundary Commission at Brownsville, Texas, working on the levee that kept the river out of downtown Brownsville.
Uh-huh.
Captain Culberson saw that on the paperwork, so after they had assigned me a place to sleep in one of those little huts, he sent after me and went over, talked to him there, and he said, I want you to start driving this truck.
Oh.
First, we hauled lumber from McGregor, Texas, where they were wrecking some buildings because the park was pretty well completed, and they were just moving some of the lumber out. So we had a truck from Lockhart, Bastrop, Luling, Pflugerville that came here, and we went as a convoy. We made two trips hauling lumber. Then I drove the truck permanently for about 6 months. I made weekly trips to the motor pool in San Antonio, the quartermaster, and haul supplies, bedding, food, potatoes, items that wasn't perishable, flour, cornmeal, canned goods, and all of that. Daily, every day, I went to Uvalde and picked up vegetables, perishable grocery items, because we had 200 people to feed.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked up soda water, beef quarters, and in the beginning, milk was shipped in 10-gallon cans from a dairy in Seguin. Later, we got a contract with a dairy in Uvalde, and I picked it up there in quart bottles.
Oh.
Of course, I couldn't carry a 300-pound block of ice or a 300-pound beef quarter, but I could drag them out and drag them into the truck bed, and I made that trip every day.
Now, y'all didn't have electricity here?
We had generators that furnished DC power, and we had very few lights. In each little hut, it was 16 by 16, we had one light globe that hung down in the center of the room with a string on it. You pull that string and turn the light on.
Yeah. How many people lived in one hut?
Mostly only four. In some cases, there was more than four, but since we had some of the cooks lived in other places, and there was five maybe, but mostly four.
Uh-huh.
You had one bunk in each corner.
I guess you made some pretty good friends while you were,
yes.
while you were working and living with these people.
Fortunately, I was assigned in the beginning in the hut that the first sergeant was in.
Oh.
So he was a close friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he guided me along the way because he had had experiences ahead of time that I benefited from by knowing about.
Oh, kind of a mentor for you then.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
You need somebody to lean on when you're 18 years old.
I guess so. He had some good experience to help you along with that. So were there some things that I know you learned about life here? Were there some skills that you learned that kind of helped you get other jobs after you've finished here?
Well, yes, although I did not work for the State Parks Service.
Oh, okay.
Of course, the camp was controlled and ran by the Army. And where I worked was considered the Army overhead. All the staff was from the Army.
Oh, okay.
So, since I traveled all the time, drove his truck and all supplies, I was closely associated with them.
Uh-huh.
And I learned to deal with the public, because in Uvalde I had to see all the merchants and what like that, and I learned some things I hadn't known before, and it helped me in later life to get along with people.
Right.
Now, we were issued Army uniforms, OD clothing, and khaki. On weekdays, I guess at 5 o'clock, we had to come out dressed to stand retreat to lower the flag.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, we didn't have to wear uniforms. We did no marching or anything like that.
Okay.
This was just a means of teaching discipline and us learning to obey authority and respect authority and respect for the flag, which of course had been taught to me by my parents and in school all the time prior to that. So I learned all of these things that I've never forgotten. It helped me through later on. And then later in World War II, when I was in the Marine Corps, this wasn't new to me. I'd already experienced it, and it was much easier on me than it was lots of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, of course,
you were already used to it.
Yes. And learned to deal with the public helped me until now, even.
Oh, yeah. Very, very important life lessons that you learned while you were in this. And I think you mentioned something about also you were able to take some classes like leather work or woodworking.
Yes,
and
we
something
had
like that.
A training situation here, schooling, where any of the boys that hadn't finished high school could take these courses. They taught regular high school subjects, whatever's required, and were given high school diplomas.
Uh-huh.
We had a educational advisor, Mr. James T. Gray, which was previously superintendent of high schools in Caritas Springs. We had a lady here that they hired, a teacher, that had been teaching school on King Ranch in South Texas. And then one of the enrollees here that will be here today, Walter Treese, that lives in Uvalde, and he's been a employee of the Border Patrol ever since he left here. And he has his own business now. He taught classes also. Now, this was classroom, paperwork type things. Now, we had a woodworking shop, and I brought lumber from Allen and Allen Lumber Company in San Antonio, cedar lumber. Mm-hmm. They built cedar chests, small ones, large ones, and different things. And we also brought a man here from San Antonio named Scott that taught leather craft. And I made myself a billfold, a pocketbook. It's the kind that's not sewed. You punch holes around the edge of it, and it's laced with a leather string. And it's tooled to make figures in the leather. You wet the leather, and he taught us how to do that. So I did quite a bit of that. And, of course, I didn't do it any time later, but...
Yeah. But those experiences that you had, all those different experiences must have changed kind of the way you kind of viewed yourself, the way you viewed your friends and other folks. So those experiences were helpful to you?
Sure. And I guess maybe the most helpful thing it would be to anybody is respect for authority. Take orders, carry them out, do an honest day's work.
Yeah, yeah.
And earn your way.
Earn your way. Interesting. So what, if you had some advice that you would want to give to the youth that are maybe watching this program, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, to begin with, obey your parents and your teachers in school. And as you grow up and learn what the world's all about and look forward to becoming an adult, you learn honesty and, again, to accept authority, respect it, and respect for your fellow man.
Yeah.
And learn good morals.
Would you encourage them to become part of a organization like the CCC was able to help you grow as a person?
Well, sure. There should be some kind of a program today to give the youth something more to do. There's too much idle time. There's too much TV. And it causes overweight from lack of exercise. You need to be involved in sports and things that keep them going.
Yeah. Well, we really do thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you, everyone, for watching.